Hey folks, I'm Tanzina Vega. Great to be with you. Since its debut in 2017, the Chinese app TikTok has become one of the fastest growing social media tools with more than 800 million active users. The app lets users make short videos that are often shared across the internet. But TikTok isn't all fun and games. For months now, a lot of the attention about the app has been focused on the national security concerns and the collection of user data. And as a result, the platform has been banned in India by multiple branches of the U.S. military and by Wells Fargo employees. Most recently, however, President Trump took aim at TikTok himself by threatening to ban the app.
We're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok. We may be doing some other things. There are a couple of options. But a lot of things are happening, so we'll see what happens. But we are looking at a lot of alternatives with respect to TikTok.
Those remarks were before reports surfaced that Microsoft was pursuing a deal to buy TikTok. In a press conference at the White House yesterday, President Trump claimed Microsoft or any other company would have to wait until September 15 to acquire the app and would be expected to give a percentage of the profit from the sale to the U.S. Treasury. Joining me now is Graham Webster, editor of DigiChina Project at Stanford University's Cyber Policy Center and a fellow at New America. Graham, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Callan Rosenblatt is a youth and internet culture reporter for NBCNews.com. Callan, thanks for being with us as well.
Glad to be here.
Callan, who is the average TikTok user?
The average TikTok user really is a dynamic question because there is a huge range of different people who are using the app. But I'd say the most common person you're going to find is someone who is either at the tail end of high school or early years of college, who is definitely solidly in Generation Z, Gen Z. And he was using the app mostly for fun, to do dance challenges, trends, and engage with communities that sort of speak to their world.
Graham, all of that sounds pretty basic. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's anything to be concerned about so far. What type of data does TikTok collect from its users, Graham?
Well, TikTok is like a lot of other social media companies these days. It's using an AI-driven or machine learning-driven algorithm to figure out which content to serve to individual users. So to get this accomplished, they pay attention to obviously whatever you post, but also, you know, what posts on your feed you look at, how long you look at them, where your device location is. They also try to track individual users like many apps do by looking at things like screen size and operating system. And of course, they have a fair amount of information about your social graph, your connections to friends and other people that you follow.
And so what were some of the concerns around the data collection that way, Graham, given that it feels like there's a lot of, as you mentioned, other social media platforms and advertisers and the like that are tracking everything that we do already? Why is TikTok being highlighted here and banned in some of the institutions that we mentioned at the top?
Well, the basic reason is that TikTok is owned by a Chinese company named ByteDance, and they're a fairly new social media company. They had a breakout a few years ago in China with an app called Junior Toutiao that is a an algorithmic news feed. And this is China's first big breakout internationally in terms of social media apps and really getting take up in many different countries around the world, not just the United States. So there's a concern that data collected by TikTok could end up in the hands of the Chinese company or the Chinese government. And while TikTok says that it stores all U.S. user data in the U.S. or in Singapore, we don't really have a good way as a society right now to check that type of thing and to make sure that companies commit, when they commit to, you know, storing data in a safe way, making sure that they're actually doing that.
It doesn't sound like we have a lot of that in the United States either, though, Graham. I mean, we have constant security breaches left and right.
Right. Well, the United States doesn't have a central data governance or data security or privacy regulatory system. The most prominent example of one globally is Europe, which has the General Data Protection Regulation called the GDPR. And that governs things like when an app or a service is going to collect your personal information, they have to gain certain types of consent and follow certain types of rules. And there's also kind of limits. The idea that if you collect data for a certain reason that you got consent for, you shouldn't be able to use it for other reasons. And that type of governance is just not that prominent in the U.S., partially because the big U.S. Social media companies are not especially keen to have their practices heavily regulated. They find GDPR in Europe to be burdensome and, get in the way of making money.
Callan, back in June, President Trump organized a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and rumor has it that TikTok users promoted buying tickets for the event and didn't show up so that the event would be empty. What do we know about how that rubbed the administration?
So what we know is it seemed to sort of frustrate the administration. Now, there's no evidence that the TikTok users and K-pop stans who are fans of Korean pop music, that they had any impact on turnout. You know, we are going through a global pandemic. There are a lot of factors going on right now. So it is really hard to know sort of what that impact was. But what we do know is it likely inflated expectations for turnout. The administration was planning to have a second rally after the main rally in Tulsa, which they then had to cancel. And so we think that it really messed with them. It was a real genuine troll on the part of these TikTok users against the president, and it really seemed to rub him the wrong way. And there are lots of TikTok users, young first-time voters, who are telling me that when Trump said he wanted to ban this app, that was a retaliation for what they did, the stunt they pulled, the prank they pulled in Tulsa.
That's what they think is happening.
There is no evidence that that's the president's line of thinking, but that's what these 18 to 22 year olds are telling me, that's their belief.
Callan, we talked about whether or not TikTok users actually had any effect on the Trump rally in Tulsa back in June. But more directly here, I'm wondering if you're seeing any more political movement on the app, whether it's pro-Trump or pro-Biden or anti-Trump, anti-Biden. Has it started to move away from dance and song and move towards more political leanings so far?
It can do both things at once, actually. So there are still the dance trends. There are massive accounts that are just, enjoying music on the app. But we see a lot of politics on TikTok now, maybe more than ever. And some young people are telling me they feel that because they're home in quarantine and because politics is ramping up nationally as we get closer to this election, that they're seeing more and more politics in their feed. And what we're seeing is not so much pro-Biden content, but a lot of anti-Trump content. And I want to be clear, there is Republican TikTok, Democrat TikTok, liberal TikTok, conservative TikTok. But what it appears to be is a lot of Generation Z has a anti-Trump sentiment. And that does not mean they have a pro-Biden sentiment. But things that we see are young people saying, hey, on this day, everyone go to President Trump's campaign store and put these products in your cart, but don't check out because allegedly that messes with their inventory. Or everyone on this day, go to President Trump's Twitter account and report his account and let's see if we can get it taken down. So we're still seeing these sort of organized movements to sort of troll the president and a lot of discussion of politics. But whether or not that is in favor of Vice President Biden or in favor of President Trump is sort of yet to be seen.
Graham, let's talk a little bit about, it sounds like TikTok users are, for the most part, having fun on the site, sort of, trying to do the things that Callan is talking about here. But on a more serious note, the Trump administration has been trying to ban the app. They are citing national security concerns and concerns over censorship by the Chinese government. How valid are any of those concerns, really, given what you know about China-U.S. politics?
Well, I think you have to separate them out. So the concern about censorship, I think, is legitimate. There was an example a little while ago where it looked like some of the censorship that they would do in China, restricting conversations about things the Communist Party doesn't like discussed, had bled over into the international product. Now, TikTok said that they were addressing that and it wasn't intended. Again, we don't really have a good way in the United States to check up on that and to kind of make sure that speech isn't being censored one way or the other. The national security issue, I think, requires a lot more imagination. As was mentioned, the military has told service members to not use the app. And I think that makes a good amount of sense. You know, if you're concerned about an app having links to a potential adversary, there's all sorts of possibilities of ways that it could be exploited, even just using location data of service members or people who work in sensitive facilities. But if you don't work in sensitive facilities, if you're just sort of going around and doing the fun things and engaging in some of the political discourse that Callan was mentioning, you know, there's not a real big national security issue there. I will say that some people think that collecting the full aggregate totality of U.S. TikTok users could be used later in AI analysis to try to do something. But it's really imaginative at this point, whereas I think the censorship concerns are real and could be checked on, and data privacy concerns are real but should be able to be checked on as well.
What about the fact that we just heard from Ian Bremmer, the president of the Eurasia Group, in the previous segment, talking about how the United States is viewed internationally in terms of our response to the coronavirus? But I did ask Ian also about his thoughts on what this TikTok dust up between President Trump and China, what seemed to be rooted in. And he said, you know, this is also part of Trump's sort of relationship with how he views China and Chinese technology. He's gone after Huawei. He's gone, you know, sort of talked a lot about 5G technology. So do you see that? I mean, do you see that as a pattern in how the president views technology specifically that's coming out of China?
Yeah, I think the Trump administration's been pursuing a campaign of, escalating what could be a new type of Cold War approach to China. And a lot of it is wrapped up in technology. And I think the focus on TikTok really makes the most sense if you consider it a distraction from two things. First is a distraction from actual problems with China. You know, the Trump administration got this phase one trade deal, which didn't really get to the deep issues of subsidy and market access and intellectual property protection. And on the other hand, it's distracting from the fact that a lot of these security concerns should apply across many apps. Why just TikTok?
And you're talking about including American-made apps like Facebook, right, and Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, the concerns are different when the parent company is in China, but there are really unaccountable data collection methods going on across ad networks, and data brokers are building profiles of Americans and people in other countries that can be purchased just with money. And it's not only ad companies that buy this data. Governments can get it, too.
Callan, as we sort of touched on this earlier, but of course, I say this all the time, we're heading into one of the most consequential presidential elections in my lifetime, at least. Social media is constantly changing. Is TikTok going to be a thing in 2020 in November, or is it going to be eclipsed with something else, or will it change the election? Callan, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't see TikTok going away anytime soon, as long as the president allows it to operate in the United States. I think we're going to see more organizing on the app among young people. And, you know, I think we're going to see TikTok, as long as Microsoft buys it or another company comes in to allow it to operate in the U.S., I think it's going to stick around for a long time.
I mean, the president, Callan, has also asked that Microsoft give money to the Treasury if it makes this sale. Is anybody else interested in buying TikTok, or is it just Microsoft right now?
I don't think anyone else has come out, as far as I'm aware, and said that they are interested in purchasing TikTok. I think Microsoft even just recently confirmed that they were interested in this conversation. But it appears a deal needs to be made by September 15th. So if someone's going to buy it, it has to happen soon.
Well, you heard it here, I guess, first. Callan Rosenblatt is a youth and internet culture reporter for NBCNews.com, and Graham Webster is the editor of the DigiChina Project at the Stanford University Cyber Policy Center, and he's also a fellow at New America. Graham, Callan, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.